Turkey, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running on this 17th day of October 2016. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That is where you go if you'd like to jump into the chat room until, well, maybe some changes coming in the chat room. I understand, I guess, Java-based chat rooms die in November or something. I'll have to talk with longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky about all this, and then somewhere along the way, John Fox, too. But if you'd like, right here, right now, this very moment, if you'd like to jump into the chat room, you will be merrily welcomed there to the madcap multimedia real time zany extravaganza that is the chat room for the next 3 hours. You'll be welcomed by Anatole and Dwayne and Hoghead and Jug of Punch, Laborman, and Steve from Georgistan. And yes, the aforementioned longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, third stage guild navigator that he is, just took a big old huff on the spice melange and folded space to become man cave. Yeah. There we go. We are a listener supported little broadcast operation. We closed the week with a deficit last week. Not a big one, but big enough to be disturbing. Over the course of the weekend, thanks to our subscribers and folks like Reinhard, John, we managed to knock it down to something so that it's not completely horrifying getting started this evening. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. The drum loop just ended in that room. Yeah, I am. So we've only got like $225 to raise this evening, which beats the devil out of having $350 to raise this evening. So thanks to all our subscribers, we few, we happy few, we merry little band of determined, progressive, broadcast enthusiasts, independent media enthusiasts, only got $225 to raise this evening. If you'd like to help us out, run over to the tab called Contribute at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, whereat you may fill out the information, and then having done so, if you'd like to make it a month-to-month-to-month-to-month kind of thing, feel free, and just click the box that says make this a monthly donation, $10, $20, whatever. I send out bumper stickers for that. Either the horn bumper sticker or the classic one-of-a-kind, you-can't-get-it-anywhere-else, they-want-it-all bumper sticker designed by our buddy Scott in Sweden, complete with a hog in a top hat with a dollar sign on it. Except no substitutes. A $20 subscription gets both for you. $10 gets you one or the other. So that's available. You fill out the information, and then you can proceed with credit card, or you can proceed with PayPal. You pick either one. But thank you very, very kindly, one and all, who do subscribe and who do contribute. That's how we keep this little operation on the air, because there ain't no commercials. Just not. Even for stuff I would like to have commercials for. That's just how it is. But we need to we need to raise $225 this evening. If you prefer the United States Postal Service, well, the mailing address for checks and money orders is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. And we are counting down, and remember, checks and money orders. Let me know that I should tell Boss Man Wayne to be on the lookout for something so that he can leave his spider-proof gloves in the truck when he goes in to check the mail in the Horn Echo Chamber and only take with him the old family Rebitch shillelagh, which he can use should he run across a member of the Klan checking their mail. Because the UPS store there where our little box is doesn't have any compunction against doing business with American domestic terror groups, to wit, the Klan. So just let me know, one way or the other. But, $225 is what we need to raise this evening. We're back to having that five at the end, which means there's a half of a listener somewhere. Oi, but, you know, one at 225, two at 112.50, four at 56 and a quarter, $28.13 for eight, and then it just gets complicated and my brain starts hurting with the ciphering. But that's where we need to be. And hopefully that'll happen before the program ends. Now, I don't know about you. Well, I'm a little tired. Okay, I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I'm worn the hell out. Broadcast days that begin at 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. Take a toll. I'm not complaining or anything. I'm just saying, yeah, I may not exactly be sharp. I'll do my best. But I'm kind of tired, because this morning, it really didn't start this morning. It started yesterday. Ferg had surgery last week on his hand, and he's kind of, that right hand of his, he's left-handed, but his right hand sort of throws things off, and he fell yesterday, and since he couldn't put his hand forward to block his fall, because that would have been messy, I fell on his shoulder, which he separated, which necessitated a trip to the ER, because never a dull moment. So we spent the evening in the emergency room last night. Multiple x-rays, that kind of thing. And he has torn tendons that sort of connect. It's not like a ball and socket joint or anything. The shoulder is a strange thing. He's lucky he didn't break his collarbone. That's how we define luck around here. Didn't break anything. But now he's walking around with one of those little, immobilizer braces that they use when you do break your collarbone. Because it has to be immobilized anyway. That was last night. And then this morning was up at 5 o'clock because we had the Save Cold River Mountain rally down in the parking lot at the West Virginia Department of Environmental Permitting. I mean protection. No, I mean permitting. And that was slated for noon. We got a little bit of a late start, but if you'd like to see it, it's up on my Facebook page. Like it. Share it around, please. Help people understand that contrary to all the hoorah articles that you see in the progressive press, such as it is, that mountaintop removal is not over. The people of Appalachia are not no longer being poisoned. We have not won. And in point of fact, there's more than 4,000 acres of brand new shiny permits up on Coal River Mountain that a company that couldn't even keep itself out of bankruptcy, Alpha, intends to blow to Kingdom Come. Again, the video of it all is at my Facebook page, Bob Kincaid. So, you know, feel free. And like I said, please share it around. And let people know that we're not safe and it's not over. You know, one of those things that, assuming for a minute, that Dr. Madam First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton gets elected president, one of the things we're going to have to work on is mountaintop removal. Presidents leaving office always have regrets. Somewhere along the way, I recall reading, hearing, I don't know, receiving through through a flashlight connected to a colander on my head from a satellite in space. I can't recall. But that one of the great regrets, for instance, of Bill Clinton's presidency was that he had been unable, or not unable, but that they had done nothing. I think nothing is the word we're looking for here. They had done nothing to intervene in or otherwise stop the Rwandan genocide during his presidency back in the 1990s. When Dim Leader was president of the United States, at the end of his misbegotten reign of error, he said the saddest moment of his presidency was when Kanye West said George Bush don't like black people. Mm-hmm. When obviously there was all kinds of all sorts of manifestations of the love that George W. Bush bore for people of color anywhere you looked. I mean, he loved the people of Iraq so much that we dropped more ordnance on Iraq than we dropped in, you know, the Second World War or something. Yeah, George loved brown people. I don't even know if Appalachia is really on Barack Obama's radar. But I can tell you that from where we sit here, one of the heartbreaks of his presidency, the unfinished business, is the degree to which his administration largely ignored the ongoing poisoning of our region. The fact that his administration ignored more than 24 peer-reviewed Science Journal articles that show that Appalachia is being poisoned by mountaintop removal. Now, he's only human. And I would not be much of one of myself if I didn't acknowledge that considering the way Appalachia writ large has treated him, it's understandable to say, hey, you know, go Cheney yourself, Appalachia. I don't think that's the case. I mean, he put forward a real plan to try to help people displaced and otherwise harmed by the downturn in the coal industry. And I realize you may not believe this, but this is actually moving toward a sort of introductory nomination for Moran Monday. With the election of Barack Obama, West Virginia proved itself, by at least one metric, to be the most racist state in the Union. Uh, one examination of search terms showed that people in West Virginia searched for his name, the President of the United States' name, and that particular word that has a G, an R, an E, an N, an I, and another G, and isn't ginger, more than any other place in the United States. It's damn fact. So it would be surprising, because he is not this inhuman to go, yeah, screw him. But he didn't do that. He's put forward things that would actually help Appalachia. The politicians, the white-wing politicians who profess to love coal and love Appalachia and love coal miners and love the coal industry, well, they blocked that plan. They pretty much stopped a whole bunch of it from getting implemented. But when a few more years have passed, and when the numbers become really, really unmistakably obvious, one wonders if Barack Obama will look back and say, leaving Appalachia to go hang again is one of the great failures of my administration. I wish we had done more. I wish we had understood that mountaintop removal has to end. Because in the course of 8 years, there's been no indication that he has that understanding. And so, assuming that Hillary Clinton is elected president, Jill, not Hill, y'all! Assuming that she's elected president, we're going to have to renew the efforts to make this noxious, painful, poisonous process stop. Because they're never going to stop on their own until they've blasted, gouged. See? I told you I'm tired. Until they've blasted, gouged, dug, tormented, and tortured every last scrap of coal out of this region. No, they're not going to stop. They have to be stopped. They have to be forced to stop. How does this become... Oh, thank you kindly, Darlene. Darlene in Connecticut with a note. Ouch. Poor Ferg. Really feel for the kid. He's pretty miserable right now. It was the boredom, the abject boredom of just laying around with the banged up hand that sent him walkabout in the first place. And then I got the call, Dad, come get me. Yeah. No, this is where we get to the Moran Monday nomination. We'll have to renew the work on the AIC Act. There was nothing more to be done in this particular Congress. It was at a standstill. But a new Congress is on the way. It'll be sworn in. In January, shortly before the new president. And so, We'll have to go to work on the Clinton administration, assuming that's what we wind up with. If we wind up with the Trump administration, it's abandon hope, all ye who enter here. And we'll be fighting for our very lives. But if Hillary Clinton is the president, well, you know, she has a verifiable record of significant work on issues relating to children. And if, as a report from EnvironmentAmerica.com showed last week, one in nine children, that's more than 10%, according to my poor math skills, of children in West Virginia go to school every day and at school are within breathing distance of toxins just from fracking operations. Imagine what that number would be if we included mountaintop removal blasting toxins. Because those are the same sort of particulates, the same sort of poisons. We're going to have to go to work on Hillary Clinton on behalf of Appalachian children. Appalachian children who in many instances are the children of people who are running around with Confederate flags on their trucks that have Trump written on them. All manner of deplorables. Maybe the children or grandchildren of whoever it is that picks up the mail for the Klan there at 1038 North Eisenhower Drive in Beckley with a different PMB. And to a large extent, her tireless efforts on behalf of children will the validity of that claim will hang in the balance. So somewhere down the road, I guess, you know, we'll probably. Well, that'll be a component of the work. But it is Moran Monday on the Horn, this 17th day of October 2016. And you know that comes with certain obligations. Right?
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. Come toward the sound of the merry little calliope. It's Moran Monday on the Horn. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Just a few steps off the Carnival Midway. Here, the thin cybernetic veil, the Moran Monday tent that stands between you and a whole host of birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, birchers, booger eaters, and healthers. That's right, repig lickens, white wingers, right wingers, libertarians, they're all here for Moran Monday on the Horn. Just remember, you can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. That's right, that's right, that's right. For less than 17 cents for every hour of programming for folks who subscribe at $10 a month, an absolute informational broadcast bargain unlike any other. You too can peer behind the thin cybernetic veil, friends and neighbors, with the warning that you need to keep a hand on purses, wallets, small children, pets, European style messenger bags, and Even that iguana that you won throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls. Because after all, friends and neighbors, kitties and cousins, aunts and uncles, the morans can get grabby. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in morans. And you will. You really will. And thus, this for Moran Monday, courtesy of Ken Ward Jr. over at the Charleston Gazette, the Gazette Mail, I'm sorry, who we're still waiting for the happy word that the Pulitzer Committee has finally come to its senses and given him one. Ken Ward has an article over at WVGazetteMail.com dated yesterday. Headline, while politicians focus on EPA, experts say gas to blame for coal decline. You knew that. I knew that. Don't try telling the morans around here that. While both major party candidates for governor in West Virginia continue to blame the Obama administration and its regulations, a new study provides still more expert evidence that competition from cheap natural gas is a much larger factor in the decline of West Virginia's coal industry. The boom in natural gas from hydraulic fracturing in shale gas regions like West Virginia's Marcellus Shale has driven the decline in coal production in the United States during the last decade, according to the new scientific paper from researchers at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland. You know, only recently did I find out where that Western Reserve language comes from out in the land of Cleves. It comes from the fact that the area that is now the land of Cleves was once upon a time claimed by... No, really... Connecticut! I wish I was joking. Connecticut used to claim that area, and somewhere around the foundation of the country, a little bit after, they ceded their claim to the Connecticut Western Reserve. Now, I'm sure denizens of the land of Cleves know that. I just didn't happen to. But, wow, what's that got to do with anything? Not a damn thing. But you know what? That was the new thing I learned that particular day. I try to learn something new every day, and that was the thing that was new that I learned. So I have to share. Because, you know, being an apostle of Carol Baker, I try to be a giver. Yeah. But no, it's peer-reviewed science journal article, real science. But, of course, none of this means anything to the mouthwalkers and knuckle breathers of the fiends of coal. No, hell no! Well, wait a minute. Why should I even give you an approximation? Let's go down here and, yeah, because, you know, we kind of need to. Because we don't know better. The essence of the report, well, you got it there. Energy companies, power companies, because there's a lot of frack gas, which is its own problem. See 1 in 9 West Virginia school children breathing toxic air because of fracking. Frack gas is plentiful and cheap. So necessarily, power companies, which are all about the profit, because Merca, the greatest history in the country of the universe in the world today, now, forever, amen, under God. You know, they want to make money. They don't want to spend it all on the stuff that they're making the money off of. So they buy gas and they convert to gas instead of burning coal. This, of course, is meaningless to the friends of coal here in West by Coal Virginia stand. They just don't like the idea of changing our state motto to West Virginia, we've got gas. Mingguo Hong is a Case Western University engineer, a study co-author, And Mingguo Hong said, some people attribute the decline in coal-generated electricity to the EPA's air quality rules, even calling it, wait a minute, we'll need reverb for this, Obama's war on coal. While we can't say that EPA rules have no impact, as, for example, discouraging the building of new coal power plants because of the expectation that tougher air quality rules will clear the courts, the data say that the EPA rules have not been the driving force. No, it's that unseen hand of the market which, having writ, moves on. Many, many take a Lou Farson, y'all, right? This does not jibe, for instance, with what Jim Kunta Kinte Justice has said. He's the lifelong Republican who suddenly had a road to Damascus moment and became a Democrat at the urging of Joe Manchin. Because, well, Joe Manchin knows how to be a Democrat without being a Democrat better than anybody. He does. That's what Manchin does best. Last week, Jim Justice said, we're seeing a rebirth of coal right now, right in front of us. There will be a lot of people getting their dinner bucket and getting back to work. This is, complete and utter hogwash. All of this, the coal market's gone because, well, not all, but the easy-to-get-at coal in southern West Virginia, pretty much mined out. The hard-to-get-at coal is still here, and that's why they want to blow up 4,000 acres of Coal River Mountain. Oh, by the way, in case you were wondering, guess who wasn't at the Save Coal River Mountain rally today? Sierra Club. Just mentioning. No, weren't there. So, the upshot of Ken Ward's article is that's right, if there's a war on coal, it's being waged by the natural gas industry and not that one in our White House or his job-killing EPA. And while we should know better, let us take a visit, rather than having me just sort of improvise an ordinary garden variety fiend of coal, let us take a visit to the comments section. A person calling himself John Brown and referring to Mr. Ken Ward Jr. as Kenny, K-E-N-N-I-E, speaks as follows. Kenny is either stupid or think the readers are. Space period. No space. These experts he is talking about are Clinton and Obama Democrats. C-R-A-T-E-S. That believe if you tell a lie over and over, it soon become the truth. Obama promise was to declare war on coal, and Hillary promises to continue its destruction. The reason natural gas is so much cheaper than coal is because, as Obama promised, he made meh, I guess, and using coal so expensive by his regulations, of course, nat gas is cheaper. Space, period. No space. Come on, Kenny. Little K, be a man for once in your pathic life and tell the truth, space, exclamation point. Let's start with Obama's own words, space, comma, no space, I, will make mining coal and burning coal in power plants so expensive it will put them out of business and using the EPA to do his dirty work. That exactly what Obama did, and if you are too stupid to look up these facts in dozens of Obama's speeches and look at what the EPA did for him, then just keep your simple-minded head stuck in the sand. space period, no cap, OBSMA's on words and action aren't that hard to understand unless your IQ is under 60 space exclamation point. I'm sorry. I'm just giving John Brown his own fucking cowbell on that. Because, see, you can't... I don't know if he's listening. Michael in Madison, are you there? You couldn't do that on your best day. And you do some pretty damn good stuff. OBSMAs? No, it's right there. OBSMAS. Put your hands in the air, OBSMA! No, that was Yzma. Yeah. And no, John Brown there, whoever he is not an outlier. You can find him all over the coal-producing areas of Central Appalachia. This, then, by the way, there is... If you had $1 million and not $1 million and one penny, and you wanted to bet which way John Brown is voting, you would not lose your money if you bet the whole $1 million that he is a Trump voter. Because he is. And in large part, lots and lots of Trump voters. Here in almost level west by coal, we've got Gas Virginia, Stan. Sound pretty much just like him. Oh, yes, there are some reasonably educated Trumpansies here. But like I said, that John Brown character is not an outlier. No. But there's a correlation here. That entire article goes to tremendous pains, and Ken Ward Jr. is not just a shameless hoorah boy for. You know, us tree huggers. He tries to report on facts. He reports on them when I don't like them. He reports on them when the coal industry doesn't like them. But this state is full of that silliness. And the correlation is that, so you've got there a peer-reviewed Science Journal article that's not saying you, hi, my name's Wong Ho Mung from Case Western Reserve, and I'm a tree hugger. Pass the patchouli, please. I would guess that over there in the engineering department at Case Western Reserve, Mingguo Hong is not walking around with some strung together kidney beads as love beads or wearing a tie-dyed dashiki or anything like that. Probably nothing of the sort. And being an engineering type, probably wouldn't know a maple from a sycamore or an oak. Or hickory, let alone hug one. but that matters not to your Trump voting friend of coal. Because, see, facts, and that I mentioned this because this dovetails over into what we spent an entire week talking about, namely the fact that the Trumpansies are not swayed in the least by the facts concerning the predatory sexual conduct of Benito Cheeto. Because facts don't matter in religion. No, 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 no. We're not going to get all prayer meeting Wednesday. But there are these things called orthodoxies. And the nature of an orthodoxy is that no part of it can be questioned. For instance, in the church, the rest of the world celebrates Easter by virtue of one calculus, one calculation. The Eastern Orthodox Church, the Greek Orthodox, the Russian Orthodox, the Armenian Orthodox, the Syrian Orthodox, the Serbian Orthodox, whatever. Easter comes 3-4 weeks later and sometimes somewhere around the 4th of July. And those, you know, those two orthodoxies have come to blows. There has been bloodshed over when to celebrate the rising from the dead of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi. Because orthodoxies may not be challenged. In the case of coal in Appalachia, even if it's mostly gone, but not entirely gone, even if all the good stuff easy to get at is gone, even if science has proven this beyond a reasonable doubt, beyond any shadow of a doubt, even if we know that Appalachia passed peak coal a long damn time ago, the orthodox religion of coal says that it cannot be true. And that anyone who challenges that is a heretic and doesn't really love coal, or probably Merca. The greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God, amen. Forever. And the same applies to the average Trumpansee regarding making Merck great again. And how Hillary needs to be locked up. Lock her up! Lock her up. Lock her up. Lock her up. And anyone who accuses him of sexual misconduct should probably be killed or something. But orthodoxy is orthodoxy is orthodoxy is orthodoxy. I think that was four, so I've broken the Gertrude Stein rule. There's only supposed to be three. A rose is a rose is a rose. So no matter what facts come forward, it doesn't change anything. It's just it's a violation of all things right, good, and decent. And reason will not change their minds. This, by definition, has to be a portion, if not the vast majority, of the definition of a moron. Does it not? Ha ha! I conjured Michael in Madison. Subject line, you're so right, Bob. kind of visual. Small y, your, Y-O-U-R, so, S-E-W, right, R-I-T-E, space, period, capital B, Bob, comma. I think there's supposed to be a space after that, comma, Michael. You're so right, Bob. It is very... No, it's is very, space, comma, no space, very difficult to type TYP that poorly on porpoise to intimidate the way that Trump pansies do, space, comma, D-O-O, space, period. Makes brain hurt lots very quickly, B-R-A-N-E, Q-W, I-C-K-L-I-E, space, comma, cannot to mansion, consonantly fighting with the auto, correct, C-O hyphen W-R-E-C-K-E-D, space, exclamation point, or as we call them around here, explanation point. And see, that points to the reality of John Brown's typing there. My God, that's a... Stephen Vincent Benet... No, who wrote John Brown's Body? Well, anybody want to get busy on John Brown's typing? Nah, it's not worth it. And that, and that took... that landed a minute ago in my inbox... As and I imagine it arrived almost instantaneously from the moment that Michael and Madison hit send because of the series of tubes. You know, it's not a big truck. It really did. It took Michael a while to tip that because he was constantly having to override the auto-correct. It, by the way, and this is kind of interesting... since I mentioned Jim Kunta Kinte Justice, the Democratic nominee for governor. I'm in a real quandary. I don't know what to do about the governor's race. I can't stand that man. I can't stand his opponent. And the degree to which I despise both is... You couldn't find the difference with a scanning electron microscope. You just couldn't. So, the other night when they had their second gubernatorial debate, and Bill Cole and Jim Justice spent a great deal of time arguing whose smiling face you see when Trump yawns, whose smiling face you see first when Trump yawns, Coles or Coles, because they both got his head that far up his fundament. Well, somewhere along the way, a question was asked to Jim Justice whether he wanted the progressive vote. And he said, I only want the votes of people who support coal. Not C-O-L-E, C-O-A-L. Obviously, I don't. I'm a registered Democrat in this state, and I'm never going to be anything but a registered Democrat. Like I'd register at the Mountain Party. Quit telling people how to vote, Bob. I'm not. Only Greens can tell people how to vote, Bob. I know. But it puts me in a spot. It means I really don't have a vote in the governor's race. Oh, I'm going to go and vote the down ballot stuff because that's as much or more important than anything happening in the governor's race. But it looks like I'm going to be leaving the governor's race blank. Because I'm not going to reward... I like her. She's a fine human being. But I'm not going to reward Charlotte Pritt for running as the Green Party candidate. So, you know, that. But I'm not going to force Jim Justice to take anything he doesn't want. And he said he doesn't want my vote. Moran. This is what happens when you're born with a silver foot in your mouth. Or a spoon. But it's also an indication of what politics is like here in West Virginia. Now, the progressive vote in West Virginia is not to be sniffed at. Contrary to the desires of the Democratic Party superstructure, we created a platform that is among the most progressive in the country. Yeah, the Joe Manchins of the world are just going to ignore it. And, you know, Jim Justice, too. And I guess that's their right. But if the race is at all close, Jim Justice might want to rethink that. Because he may wind up just having to go back to being billionaire Justice, billionaire Jim Justice, instead of billionaire Governor Jim Justice.
I only want the votes of people that support coal.
Damn. You know, just damn. So I think that gives us a pretty good running start on Moran Monday. Oh, thank you. Nice tweet coming in from Nikki. She said, me talking about the Western Reserve being related to Connecticut's claims on Ohio. Nikki said, it's also something new for me to learn, too. And I'm from the land of Cleve. My work here is done. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. For in my father's house are many more ends. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Many, many more ends. 8 minutes before the hour, we've got $225 to raise on the evening. And, hey, 52 minutes into the program, we're at zero. So, you know, there's that. What the hell? Sparky just sent me an image. Paid for by the Republican Party of New Mexico, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. When the Democrats win the election and you didn't do your part to stop it. Big bold font. All in. Your neighbors will know. What are you waiting for? Apply to vote by mail today. Learn more at newmexico.gop. Really? Your neighbors will know. I guess that's one way of getting out the vote. Your neighbors will know, and hey, your neighbors will thank you and not think that you're a mindless fucking troglodyte. That shit can backfire, you know? But that's another Moran Monday thing. Over in Virginia. This past week, a Trumpanzee who wanted to demonstrate his undying support for the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini Well, what he did to show his support, what he did was he went and just stood silently staring into a Democratic Party headquarters building off in rural Virginia. It wasn't main Democratic headquarters. It wasn't the Democratic headquarters, in New York where, no. This was in a place that I never even knew existed. Namely, Fluvanna County, Virginia. I got no clue. Daniel Parks was interviewed by Action News, CBS 19, Newsplex, team coverage, eyewitness, right. In Dittmar, Virginia. Daniel Parks said he hopes other Trumpanzees will stand up for what they believe in. I'm just trying to provide a voice for someone who might be a closet supporter of Trump, other people who are a little worried to speak out because of possible persecution. You know, the New Mexico GOP sent that out, your neighbors will know. Not the Democratic Party of New Mexico. There's nobody out there persecuting Trumpansies. Well, you called us Trumpansies. Yeah, dude, what would you prefer? Trumpuccinos? Whatever. So Daniel Parks spent 12 hours standing outside the Fluvanna County, Virginia Democratic headquarters in Dittmar, Virginia, just staring all creeper-like into the entirely glass-fronted front of the Democratic headquarters. Which was creepy enough, but then it's kind of like the old children's story, stone soup, you know. Well, I've got some stones. Oh, I've got a pot. I've got a gun! Because that's what happened. Another Trumpansie showed up, and they both sort of turned all heroic and freedom protector-like and showed everybody there in the Demon Crate headquarters that they had guns. Because they were manly men Trump supporters. And they weren't nothing nobody could do about their guns. Because God and Jesus love guns. When asked about it, Daniel Parks said, well, my gun is a legal gun. I didn't mean nothing by carrying it and flashing at them communists in that building there. Lock her up! No, he didn't say any of those things. He just said his gun was illegal. It was perfectly legal, which it were, and he didn't have no ill intention. We're not a threat to anybody. The only threat is ignorance, and ignorance breeds fear. No, dipshit, the gun breeds fear because you're a Trumpansie and God only knows what you'll do with the fucking gun because you're a Trumpansie. And lots of people have seen your candidates' rallies. No, believe me, if you beat the shit out of him, I'll pay for your defense. Mm-hmm. They also asked him about the fact that Trump has pretty much given up on Virginia. Daniel Parks said, he might be pulling out, but we're not pulling out. And I'm going to stand my ground and speak out for what I believe in. he hopes to go and intimidate people at the Democratic headquarters in Richmond here in the next week or so, I guess, before the election. I'm going to stand my ground. Stand your ground. Well, you know, thank God that nobody in that Democratic headquarters had to had a can of Arizona tea or a bag of Skittles. This is America in 2016. And by the way, don't be surprised if you see more of this. Because someone has told these geniuses that they can legally use their firearms to intimidate people. Because it is intimidating. And they know it is, but they hide behind the little bloody lace skirts of Fat Dead Tony's ruling in the Heller decision. Josh Marshall over at Talking Points Memo picked up on this. He said of Parks' conduct, "This was obviously menacing behavior, and this takes on a new dimension, both substantively and in terms of federal law, when it's tied to elections. But it was also completely legal under state firearms law." We know Donald Trump now repeatedly asks his supporters to go to minority precincts on Election Day to search for signs of voter fraud and attempts to steal the election. Today, his chief surrogate, Rudy Giuliani, told Jake Tapper that Democrats are able to steal elections because they control the inner cities, which is another way of saying because black people. I'm sure Bill O'Reilly is already cowering in bowel watering, pants wetting fear of the new Black Panther Party. So there's no longer much attempt to be subtle about warning that black people are going to steal the election for Hillary Clinton. You know, by voting, by exercising their right to vote. Josh Marshall did a little digging around. He said voting officials in a number of open carry states say it wouldn't necessarily be against the law if Trumpers, he says Trumpers, did some version of what happened in Virginia outside polling places. It wouldn't necessarily be protected either. It would be up to local election officials to decide if it amounted to intimidation or interference. Under state law, this may well be the case, but federal law trumps state law, and the federal government has an extensive legal mandate to prevent election interference and voter intimidation, especially, though not exclusively, where African Americans are targets. The word target being used here taking on an entirely different and non-metaphorical meaning. The kind of poll watching Trump is encouraging is in the great majority of cases illegal, wildly more so if it involves doing so with firearms. So is the federal government taking steps now to protect the polls? How does it plan to approach cases where firearms clearly amount to menacing behavior, but state law gives people the right to carry firearms pretty much wherever they want as long as they're not openly brandishing them or pointing them in a threatening manner? I would submit that the answer to this is a political answer. In Talibama, taking your freedom protector and standing outside a polling place in, say, Birmingham or Selma, frequented by wrong-colored people, you know, as determined by the GOP, will be seen as a heroic act of freedom. I think if you try to do it in Massachusetts, it might be a different story. or, say, California. I have a feeling there will be numerous stories along these lines come November the 8th, and the federal government will be entirely ill-equipped to deal with it. Then again, there was a time in this country where the threats of something far more brutal than simply being shot did not keep people of color away from the polling places. So maybe this will backfire if the information gets a little broader dissemination. And of course, as we, you know, we got a couple of weeks yet, but go ahead and find out who your what your Secretary of State's Elections Division phone number is. They'll have someone staffing it. And you might want to go ahead and put it in your phone in case you see a Trumpansy with a gun at a polling place. Then maybe call 911 too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's no, we said all along it was going to be a long damn way to November. And these may be the longest couple of weeks that we've ever ever felt. Yes, indeed. Hey, note coming in from Jay Cruz, and I'm just glad to hear from him. I was worried about him all last week with the hurricane. Jay Cruz is one of those people that gets sent out into the nastiest parts of it to, you know, help restore electricity to people when climate change has blown it out. I'm just glad to know he's okay. Subject line, blank. Just finished filling out my ballot. Left the top blank. Call me a moron if you wish. I do not wish to. I'm done with progressive radio until after the election. Hearing Malloy defend NAFTA last week was the last fucking straw. Love you, Bob, and I'll be back. I just can't participate in this anointing of HRC. Well, I'm not anointing anybody. And, you know, this thing could go straight to hell between now and November, and there might not be any anointing. It might not even be any electing. We might get that glorious morning when we wake up and find that We've prevented that godforsaken awful bitch from being president, and instead have President Trump. And won't we all feel so much better then, as progressives? Won't we? Absolutely. I'm sure. Take it, Jay Cruz, and says, you know, all caps, bye. Be well, Jay Cruz. Be well. So I've filibobstered over my allotted time. It's 9 minutes past the hour. And we'll take a little break here. Doesn't mean I got, no. There's more morons, really. Lots and lots of morons, definitely lots of morons. And we'll talk about them. Or we'll talk. This is, after all, conversation radio. This is a place where you can engage in long-form conversation unlike anywhere else, any other program. If you can't get an idea across on the horn, you can't get an idea across. Because nobody's going to run you off the air. How do you reach the program? Well, there's a number of ways. Email is always handy, as Jay Cruzen shows there. BobKincaid@gmail.com. Or, you know, you can use the stress line, 304-663-4676. Or you can use the other line, 304-574-8178. Or Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn. That's available to you as well. So, you know, and hey, we got folks on the stress line and the other line both. So we're full up for the moment. And we will... see how things shake out. And hopefully somewhere along the way, we'll take a bite out of the $225 we need to raise to keep things on an even keel for the beginning of this week. And hey, you know what? Today, we are downhill. Downhill. We are downhill to the Horn's anniversary date. A week from tonight, we will be celebrating the 11th anniversary as an internet-only broadcast operation. And wouldn't it be nice to try to get all of our fundraising done and not have any holes to be in come, you know, October 24th? Because it was October 24th, 2005, when we went on the air this way. Asa asking, can we say thin-skinned Steiniacs? You can. Right. From Michael and Madison, Bob, stop telling people how to reach the program, Bob. Oh, yeah, you get one of those, Michael. That's good. That's just precious. All right, damn it. Let's take a break. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. We'll be back. If you're on hold, stay that way. Coming right to you.
Oh, the smell of the bakery from across the street. Got in my nose, yeah. Yeah, we carried our letters down the street with the wrought iron cage rose. I went home and listened to Jimmy Rogers in my lunch break. Bought five woodbine at the shop on the corner and went straight back to work. Oh, Sam was up on top and I was on the bottom with the V. We went for lemonade and Paris buns at the shop and broke the tea. I collected from the lady and I cleaned the fan light inside out. I was blowing saxophone on the weekend in a down joint. What's my life? I'll have to be cleaning windows. Take my time, I'll see you when my love grows. Baby, don't let it slide. I'm a working man in my prime, cleaning windows. Number 36. on the street where I was born. Yeah. Sonny, Brandon McGee, I'm running what I'm saying, I'm a rolling stone. I went home and read my Christmas Humphrey book on Zen. Curiosity killed the cat, Kerouac stormed a bump and on the road. Number 126. I will be right tomorrow. I just burned a tanner, a street deep in the windowsill.
Yeah. That takes some of the nasty of Moran Mundy away. A little Van Morrison. Why not? Yeah. And let's go over to the stress line and see who's calling from Minnesota. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
Hey.
Hi, Bob. This is Nick in Minnesota.
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
All right. Say, I was just wondering if you have viewed the latest police video out of Minnesota.
No, I haven't.
Okay. It's probably it'd probably be worth watching. It's hard to describe videos on radio, but if you go to if you Google the Edina, Edina police video, I'm sure you'd get the hit. It's basically black guy walking down the street. And the problem is the sidewalk's under construction, so he can't use the sidewalk. And the first thing you see in the video is the police guy grabs his shoulder.
Yeah, grabs him by the nape of the neck, or the clothing at the nape of the neck. Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
And the lady that's by the video is, trying to coax the police officer into the good news is nobody gets shot.
Nobody's dead. Okay, yeah, that's a win.
But the it just escalates.
Are you? Hold on. Now, wait a minute, hold on. Nick, the daggum phone did it to me again. They dropped the Bluetooth connection. If you want to try back, we'll finish the conversation. I don't know why this thing's taken to doing this. It's after the latest iOS update. Maybe I need to attach make it an Android phone or something. But I'm gonna ring off now and try me back and let me get this thing repaired. Thanks, Nick. I appreciate it. Ah, this is beginning to piss me off. This is happening all too often. And boom, connected. Sure. Okay. All right. We're back and connected, Nick. If you want to try back in. In the meantime, let's run over and maybe Nick will be calling back. Yeah, I've got the story here. It's outrageous. He tries to explain, Larnie Thomas does, there's nowhere else for him to walk. Yeah, you're right. I've got the story from CBSNews.com. Outrage after video shows black man handcuffed over walking in street. Damn, really? Okay, let's see if this is going to work now. All right, Nick, do we have you?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. Hopefully we'll stay connected this time.
So where'd you lose me?
You said a woman was trying to get the cop to do something.
Well, basically her job is basically mediate things. So she had a vested interest, you know, as in her profession, to keep things cool, and she was kind of exasperated that it just kept getting worse and worse, and holding him tighter, and the guy like basically gets out of his jacket to get loose. He wants to keep going, and then the guy feels he has to call a backup. As soon as the backup cop shows up, he's basically, well, you're under arrest, you know. And then they went on to smear him
and say, well, you know, he had an odor of an alcoholic beverage on or about the subject of the person.
Right. So, I mean, it just seems like it was unnecessary. It's like the classic case of, couldn't a police officer handled it a little bit better, kind of a deal, and
Yeah, you would think, especially in light of recent events, but they probably think they did handle it better, Nick, because they didn't kill him.
Exactly. The funny thing about it is that it's from a dyno, which is like basically the stereotypical, even though it's really not true, but it's like the stereotypical, when you mention a dyno to anybody in the Twin Cities, it's like it's the affluent suburb, because it came from back in the 60s. We always called them the cake eaters, because they were the high school that like would just destroy all the inner city teams in sports and that kind of thing, and it was a classic or hockey version of Hoosiers, where the Edina team against the War Road hockey team, and the War Road hockey team, Henry Boucher was Ojibwe tribe band kid, Native American, who like was one of the greatest hockey players ever from the state of Minnesota, from northern Minnesota, and he came down and was beating all the big schools down here, and even though he had already had a hockey stick had been in his eye, so he had to play with only one eye because it was like all patched up at the time. And then at the final game, he got hit into the boards and got a concussion from that, and wasn't really able to play. And they ended up losing 5-4, I think, in overtime. But anyway, that just that it was from a dyno made a kind of a classic video.
Well,
the Twin Cities.
The photograph of the older white-haired cop in his khakis and his blue button-down Oxford cloth shirt, grabbing a young black man by the collar, is not good optics.
Nick.
And the fact that they went on and didn't arrest him after all and dismissed all the charges kind of indicates that the police department knew that they fucked up.
Right. And what would have happened if it hadn't have been for the person that happened to be videotaping it, of course. It would have been just
right, and you know, you can tell from the angles involved. You know, the young man, Mr. Thomas, was walking with the flow of traffic. It looks like a neighborhood. There's houses and trees in the background, and this just looks like it looks like an attempt. Wanted him to get out of the road. Okay, where do you want me to do? Fly?
Right.
Hover? There's no sidewalk.
Right. But, you know, it's basically, well, the black guy isn't supposed to be in that community anyway, is what you know.
Dan, that's kind of what runs underneath it all, isn't it?
And, right. And, you know, if it had been a white guy, is he going to get grabbed by the scruff of his jacket to begin with?
He rolls up to the white guy.
Guy could be walking down the exact same thing, and he's got the headphones, so he's not listening either. But the cop's probably assuming that he's not a resident of Edina anyway. Where the, you know, if it had been
it's a white guy walking down the road, the cop pulls up to him, rolls his window down, and says, "Pardon me, sir.
Right.
Did you know that proper pedestrian procedure in a neighborhood?" Is to walk against the flow of traffic so that you can always see the oncoming car coming toward you. Whereas where you're walking right now, you could be plowed over and never know a car was even coming toward you. So would you please go to the other side of the street, sir, for public safety's sake, and so that your family can welcome you home into the bosom of its loving arms? Thank you,
exactly.
Sir. Peace is our profession. Have a nice day.
Exactly. So, anyway, I thought that was worth bringing up.
On a Moran Monday, damn straight.
Yeah, that was what kind of with this Trump thing. Friday, when the sexual thing hit that Friday night, I was like, sitting watching TV, getting ready. I was running my 31st marathon that Sunday, about a week ago last Sunday. So I'm like resting up and I'm like watching it, and my mouth was kind of dropped because they were making it out to be such a big deal as far as the Republicans were concerned. You know, they're like, all of a sudden now they're like, you know, well, I'm not endorsing him anymore, you know. And I'm like, well, you know, when he says like the Central Park Five are really still guilty. You know, it was like, seemed like it hardly got any news coverage at all. And then as soon as he starts attacking white women, all the Republicans seem like they got upset about it. And I'm like, I was just surprised. Like, to me, it was just, here's another thing that they'll quickly forget about. And it seemed like it took a lot longer for him to forget about this than the other things. And I was just surprised that it was such a big deal. Compared, you know, you can attack the Muslims, you can attack the Mexicans, you can attack the disabled people, but as soon as you start attacking the white, you know, white women, all of a sudden it's like a big deal. And it just seemed like a weird thing to me.
I should know
that it really isn't a weird thing, right?
And one of the things I find interesting out of the story you brought to our attention, Nick, is the fact that a musician and an activist by the name of Toki Wright, who's out of the Twin Cities area, tweeted the video and pointed out how outrageous the conduct was. saying, here's what happened in Edina, Minnesota yesterday when a black man decided to walk around construction that was blocking the sidewalk. This is also a perfect example of how people get murdered. Then Toki Wright used the hashtag Minnesota Nice. I observed how Thomas's actions were obstructing southbound vehicular traffic as vehicles slowed to a walking pace while stacking up behind Thomas, said Officer Friendly in his incident report. I then recognized a public safety risk, so I turned on my lights and signal in an attempt to advise him to get out of the roadway. To where? Climb the fence?
I guess he had to cross the street. I don't know.
Why did the black dude in the diner cross the street? To get away from the cop.
So,
yeah, it's ridiculous. Thanks, Nick, for bringing that to our attention. I appreciate the Moran Monday nominee.
And I'll, in honor of that marathon, I'll put in the $26.20 to the head-on fund, and I'll put it up as a challenge.
All
if
right.
Anybody else wants to meet the $26.20.
Because you know I love fooling around with ciphering. God bless
right.
you,
well,
Nick.
Well, I can't, you know, I can't, it's not my fault, it's the fault of the Queen back in 1904 that she had to see the 1904 marathon. It was a straight 24 miles, and she had to see the marathon, so they rerouted it through the castle so she could see the marathon runners run by. That was why it's the odd number.
Damn the Queen. Exactly. Thank you, Nick. Thank you so much. All the right. Challenge is on the table there.
All right.
All right. Bye, appreciate bye. It. Bye now. 26 times. And God knows, that'll get us knocked down below $200, so that's a big deal. That'll take us to $198.80. Woo! And I did that without a calculator. Look at me. Meanwhile, let's run over to the other line where Tracy's waiting. You there, Tracy?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear. Your dulcet voice, freshly back from rolling the bones, flipping the cards, and pushing the button.
Yeah, it was all about Mississippi Studs, because let me tell you, we got Thursday and Friday. I lost my ass. I'm like, what? It's like I would be up, and then, you know...
People
or,
were walking up to you going, is this yours? Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
I lost my ass.
Seriously. Exactly. It was just like, what? I was just like, what is going on? And then I played Mississippi Stud. I've never played it before, but it is now my new favorite game because, you know, I won. But I got it up to... That's to say that as a result, I'm doing the $50 challenge because, yeah, Mama did okay. But it was touch and go there. It was like I said, I was 5 hours at the poker table.
Whew! Was Jan kind of hovering in the background going, sweetie, come on, honey, it's okay, come on.
No, she had enough. Because she had blown through her money and she went up to the room and then around 11 o'clock, she calls me and says, you know, are you coming to the room? I said, I've hit a streak. Leave me alone.
Don't mess with a streak.
I'm hitting a streak. I mean, I got, you know, a couple of full houses, three of a kind. Couple of two pairs, a lot of pushes. Anybody that plays poker knows a push is a win.
Oh yeah.
If you're playing table games, so you know. But what's fun about table games is that it's a community thing, and people are rooting for you, you know. Especially, it's even more fun when the entire table wins something. So that's why, like I said, I could never play big people, grown-up poker, because it's all in my face. I do not have a poker face. It's like, you know, I can hold my tongue, but my face will betray me. So it's
yeah, I'm always given away by the big giggle when I look, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I couldn't bluff my way out of a wet paper bag. So it's just best that I just, like I said, I leave the grown-up poker to the, you know, the grown-ups. So, no, we have...
To the people with the serious sunglasses.
Right, the sunglasses and the much larger bankroll than I will ever have. But the I see that, you know, when you said the fact that for stop telling people how to vote and you would... Stop telling people how to buffet.
Yeah, those were some mean-ass buffet pictures, Tracy.
Yeah, I mean, I know it was rude, you know, but I had to because it's just my ploy to show you the more stuff. I figure the more stuff I show you, I know you want to come out here, but I'm just trying to make you see what is waiting for you.
Oh, I know. Hey, I'm still stuck on the shrimp taco truck.
Exactly.
And I can't wait. I can't wait until there's one of those. Yeah, I can't wait until there's one of those on every corner, because that means there's a corner in West Virginia we can have a deep fried shrimp taco truck on.
Again, I don't see a problem. I mean, I live in Encino, so the chances of me having, I have to go to. I mean, for those who know about, you know, Los Angeles County and the Valley. Anybody that knows Encino knows they're not going to have any shrimp or any kind of taco trucks or any corner in Encino. What we will have are those gourmet, you know, food trucks, but no taco trucks. I have to go to Reseda or Van Nuys to get, you know, a taco truck. But that's
God bless,
well
you know,
there,
God,
but.
God bless rock and roll, because thanks to Tom Petty, I know about Reseda.
Right, and Tarzana, you know.
That's exactly. From Free Fallin', I think.
Exactly. It's so funny. And then America, Ventura Boulevard, you know. So it's like, hey, you know, because of our, you know, this part of the country, we have, you know, songs, you know, and people know about this part of the world. And what was that? Sheryl Crow. You know, all I want to do is have so fun. And that's like, you know, and I love L.A. So we have all these songs that have stole the virtue, you know, how one, excuse me.
Yeah, meanwhile, poor little West Virginia gets one song about, ostensibly about West Virginia, that doesn't even have any references to West Virginia in it.
Take me.
The Blue Ridge Mountains and the Shenandoah River ain't hardly in West Virginia.
Right.
I mean, but I'm oath bound to go to a beer festival in Germany sometime with Chris, so that I can stand up and lead the singing of "Take Me Home, Country Roads," because the Germans just love. To get their beer face on and sing "Take Me Home, Country Roads."
Now where was the beer spa? That wasn't Germany. Where was that?
No, that's the Czech Republic. And we are at one of these days we're going to do a send Bob and Agnes to a beer spa crowdfunding challenge or something. Just because there needs to be pictures of my, you know, nothing graphic. Just say, you know, from the sternum up, naked Bob sitting in an old beer barrel surrounded by 110-degree beer, you know, with a glass in his hand. That's for the ages, right?
I mean, I think that trumps the deep-fried shrimp taco. It'll be cheaper to get out here for the deep-fried shrimp taco, but I think, especially since you love you some beer, I think that might trump the deep-fried shrimp taco.
Well, then again, of course, it's California, and it's the land of entrepreneurs. You know the problem with the French language, Tracy? They don't have a word for entrepreneur. And there's lots of entrepreneur lots of entrepreneur money in Southern California. Maybe we need a beer spa in Southern California. I'm trying here. I want to get a national thing going on. I want some beer spa.
I think I should become an entrepreneur.
Hold on. I'm going to get mail. You know I'm going to get mail. No, that's toaster worthy, okay? I mean, Jesus Christ.
So there's entrepreneur, and then, like I tell people, when I get into my funks and I disappear, I go incognito. What?
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it, Spock.
It's like when I disappear, and I'm like, okay, I'm fine. We're incognito, so everybody knows I'm okay. I have to come out of my funk, you know. So, but,
well, at least I know if I don't hear from you for a while what's happened.
Yeah. So now you know. You can say, okay, Tracy's kind of incognito. If she's okay. Well, I needed that laugh. I really do. You know, it's just been this the last few, you know, like, you know, we have just been, it's just been so horrible. Just like you said, just wretched, disgusting, urine-soaked election cycle. It's horrible. I actually, I don't know if I posted it on the Horn page, but about these people, that there are therapists who are actually, you know, noting the Trump effect on their patients. And that they have never seen anything like
that. Well,
this
I'm down to just sucking the Thorazine out of the darts so Agnes don't even have to shoot them at me no more.
It's like when you... Like this, you know, about these people who are, you know, doing, you know, because the Trump pansies, you know, because, like you said, they have their rights, states' rights, to walk around with, you know, open carries, from, you know, so they can, you know, we're not intimidating people. We're just making sure that they have the right to vote. And so you know that there's going to be issues. Fortunately, you know, I'm not... See, this is one. Well, I vote by mail, so I'm good. But even if I didn't, I live in Encino. The chances are, you know, of a gun welding Trump handsy keeping me from voting because they don't even realize that black people live in Encino, so I'm good. You know, then we're not going to have a bunch of Trump handsies sitting out front of outside the polling place
no,
in my neighborhood.
No, but Alabama, Louisiana, Stan. Damn Skippy. By the way, you just got a note from Michael in Madison, who is the owner of several toasters, I might add. Subject line, entrepreneur, with multiple explanation points. Michael says, I'm sending back all my toasters. I'm not worthy. Please forward them on to Tracy. And, courtesy of Sparky, Tracy, I got news. We may have been slow to the uptake. At the Deschutes Brewery in Oregon,
of course,
they have America's first beer spa.
Damn it!
But
That's Oregon.
Y'all do everything better in California. So, you know, get on it.
But the graphic
that goes with it shows this precious little white girl with her hair up in a bun, wrapped in a little green towel, getting into an old Victorian style bathtub.
Oh, cool!
So I'm thinking this got you and Jan just wrote all over it.
Well, you know,
I mean,
what?
That's not going to bring you hardcore beer drinking, beer belly white guys out.
No. Not at all. And see, I'm I'm out here. I can get, you know what? Because I'm black and a woman and a lesbian, I could probably get a small business loan in California.
Oh, Tracy, we have an idea. We have an idea.
I just don't, you know what? At this point, I need, okay, this is now, because see, Jay and I have been, you know, she's going to be 63 in March. And, you know, at the rate, you know, you got me finishing school and whatnot and so forth. She's tired of her job. I hate the fact how stressed how her job makes her, but she basically has to stay. Well, even if I wasn't trying to finish school at, you know, at the pace of a thundering herd of turtles, she still has to, in order to get decent amount of money on her Social Security, she basically has to work until she's fucking 70. Thank you, Republicans, for dragging out the retirement age even further than it needs necessarily be.
Well,
so,
you do know, Tracy, that you, me, our generation, we're even more screwed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they did that to us in, like, 1986 while we weren't looking.
While we weren't looking.
While we were,
because in 1986,
kinda, I was 23 years old.
I hadn't even hit 20. I was 20 years old in 1986, Bob. What the hell was I thinking about retirement? Look, I was still a size 8.
Well, you know, no, I mean, the you know, that's back, you know, and Chris Matthews gets all dewy when he talks about how the Gipper and Tipper took off their jackets and rolled up their sleeves and had a scotch and solved problems in America. And what he means by that is they looked at each other and said, "Hey, who can we fuck? Let's fuck the Gen Xers. They're not even watching." It was like some sort of nasty version of the Life cereal commercial. Let's fuck Mikey. He ain't even looking.
Was that the same time where they decided that they were going to start taxing service, you know, waiters and waitresses?
Wow, that was Ronnie on his own coming into his first term. But, you know, that's the 1986 tax reform when they, among other things, if I'm recalling this correctly, you know, when they took away the ability of ordinary middle-class families to write off the interest on their car loans.
And their credit cards.
Right. Yeah, that.
You know, because, you know, you're punishing me for not having a home, but how can I have a home if I can't save any fucking money?
Right, and you know, at the time, I was 23 years old. I was already in the news business, and I was paying attention. But what the hell can you do? It was buried somewhere down, you know, on page 14,702, you know, back behind the goddamn farm carrot subsidies.
Right.
Oh, by the way, by the way, son, you got to work till you're 67 if you want $1.17 a month.
Right. Right. And it's like, you know, Jen and I have been having these conversations, especially after her hip surgery. And even though she was technically off of work, she wasn't. I mean, the good thing is the one saving grace about Jan's job, besides her being the supervisor, and well, not even the supervisor, the director of the program, she works from home. So there's that. Because if she has
so she's
to
not
do,
stuck
to
so ask, she's not stuck in traffic out on the 6 and 7/8 every day.
No, and so that's the one saving grace. And they know that if they fucked with her, a lot of the accounts and clients that she has cultivated over the last 17 years of this project, if she went to another company, they would all go with her because she has formed these relationships, and I guarantee you they would walk if she was to ever be fired or replaced, you know, without her wanting to be replaced, in other words. So she knows that, and they know that. But is the stress is another fact. She's about to. She has to be disposed because there's this crazy woman who has been trying. She's gone to like 5 different attorneys because she accused one of the drivers of sexually molesting her child. And it did not happen. There was an investigation. The DA, the police, Child Protective Services, everybody said that there was no basis for this case. See, what happens with a lot of these parents with special needs children, once the child reaches a certain age, they don't get any more funding. So a lot of these parents resort to suing. And most, a lot of times, you know, they just pay these suits out just to get rid of them. But this woman is, you know, trying to sue in the, you know, in the tens of millions. And so they're like, no. And there's no basis. There's no case. So she has to go for a deposition. But the thing is, we found out that the deposition was at the attorney's office in Old Town Pasadena. And when I say Old Town Pasadena, most of these buildings are old and they don't have elevators. And my wife is still recovering from hip replacement surgery.
Now, hold on a minute. So they got grandfathered in under the Americans with Disabilities Act?
Yeah. Yes, they did.
I bet they're going to do great in the next earthquake, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, she can't really do fair. So it's just the bullshit. So we're going to have to, you know, I know nothing about running businesses, but I'm pretty sure I can get somebody that knows something and I can be, you know, send me in there being, you know, help me write the business plan, send me in to the Small Business Association. Because they're actually
you just have to reserve one extra large old beer barrel for old extra large white guys, okay? I mean,
Bob, here's the thing,
we can be race neutral on that. Just extra large beer barrel for extra large old beer drinking dudes.
Yes, and see, because I'm an extra large non beer drinking chick, so we're good. You know,
the day is coming, Tracy, when we're gonna convert you. And you're gonna be sitting there in the beer barrel in the spa with a big old glass of good Czech pills in one hand and a mayonnaise sandwich in the other. We're gonna get there.
I will drink beer. I'm learning how to appreciate and like beer, but you gotta cut me out. The sister some slack with the mayonnaise. You people with the who was it with the mayonnaise? Even with my crab. You would somehow talk. Was that Horst?
No, that was that. No, that was mayonnaise? That was Ron in the far frozen north.
About the mayonnaise with the crab, and they said, "Oh, it's a Royale, or with the mix of a ketchup." I'm like, "Oh my God, you're messing."
That was Horst. With the Royale. Yeah. Ron started it. Horst piled
Ron
on.
Ron started it. You know, Ron started it. So, quick question: have you gotten a chance to watch the 13th on Netflix?
No, I have not. It's been a little bit zany around here for the last week or so.
Well, I can imagine. How's Ferg, by the way?
Miserable. Miserable.
Oh, poor baby.
He wasn't real happy before yesterday, and yesterday he got real unhappy.
What happened?
He fell.
Oh, geez. Seriously?
Yeah, and he couldn't put his hand out to break his fall, so instead he landed on his shoulder and he separated it.
Oh, come on! What?
Yeah, I know.
Is he cursing the gods like, damn you? Seriously?
I don't know if he's out there. I don't know if he's taking a side job smashing mirrors every day for a living, or I don't know.
Oh my goodness. Oh, so when you guys go, is it, now when you separate your shoulder, that's really nothing you could do about that besides, you know, snapping it back in.
He's got the little immobilizer like he broke his collarbone. Because he tore the tendons that attach his collarbone to his arm, to his shoulder. You know, it's kind of weird up there.
They told us it's called an AC tear.
It just sounds like it. Like last Monday, because I was having shoulder pain and neck pain, and my doctor shot me up with cortisone in the front of my shoulder and the back of my shoulder, and that helped because, again, because we're old. You know, our bodies, I've had this body for 50 years.
We are not old, we're older. Now quit it. We are older.
Okay.
I'm just waiting for him to clone my new body, and I'll move in when it's about 22.
And you know what? That's I don't think it's asking for much. I really think that once our bodies get to a certain point, and our brains are still fine.
But I get to keep this brain.
That's what I said.
Because I don't want to go through all that shit all over again.
No. Look, I just want my metabolism back from my 20s. And I don't even have to be a size 8 again. I'm cool with that. I would just be happy as a 14. You know, I'm not even trying to be a 12. I would just be happy at a solid 14 because, or just having a 1 instead of my size and my weight. That would just, I'm cool with that.
I wouldn't need the extra large beer barrel at the beer spa.
Exactly. I wouldn't need the double X shirt and, the size 20 whatever pants and all that. I would be just fine. I would be happy with just the L. At this point, I would be happy with just the XL. But I would be ecstatic with just the L. And no X's in front of the L. So, I don't think we're asking for much, Bob. Are we?
No.
I need to step away from going to Wendy's and eating, going to buffets.
Oh, no, but I'm suffering right now because it's been a very long day, up very early to get everything, and then the rally in Charleston, and then back to Beckley, and then back to home, and I was falling apart. So I hate myself. I went through the clown drive through, and I got two McChickens.
What'd you get?
Two McChickens.
Well,
and I do. I hate myself.
But
I ate a bag of wet cement.
Well, I got one even better. Now,
you tell me about going to In-N-Out Burger. We're going to have a problem.
No. Because, see, none of you... Okay, when you live here, I'm over to In-N-Out every so often. Jan and Alex will eat In-N-Out every freaking single day. Me, personally, I'd rather go to Fat Burger. But that's a whole nother conversation.
I'd rather get on the road, drive 550 miles, and get about two dozen hot dogs at Dick Howell's, and then the next morning have a couple of burgers from Stag's Grocery. But, it ain't happening.
That's just you. So today, I don't know why I did it. I know better. And I know people are going to say, really, Tracy, you went to the place where they tell you that they hate you being because you're gay, and you went
you
there
did
anyway.
Not.
Yes, I know where I went.
You went to Hateful A.
Well, see, in my defense,
you went to Hateful A.
It was because Will wanted to go to Chick-fil-A. So what am I going to say? I can't tell the child. Well, it's like I didn't want to start with the whole thing. He wanted Chick-fil-A. And then, of course, I could have said, we'll go to Chick-fil-A and I'll order whatever you want. And then I would have been fine. But no, I yielded. Their chicken is, I don't know what is in their chicken. I was so mad at myself.
Crack,
I hated
crack,
myself.
Crack. There is crack in that chicken, okay? Let's just, that's all, that's what. No, but okay, so, what? Okay, what, since we're telling our dirty little secrets.
Yeah.
I've been there too.
Okay.
Because
it's one of those things.
Because they sell something there they don't sell anywhere else, Tracy.
They sell that thing where they blend their soft serve with their fucking wonderful lemonade.
See? And I'm sitting here sipping on fucking lemonade. At least I had the common courtesy to not be eating the Chick-fil-A sandwich while I was talking to you. I actually tried to shove it down my throat before you picked up the phone.
I'm gonna get hate mail now.
I was so glad that you picked the phone before me.
Yeah, so dig it. You know Peter Thiel, the self-hating right-wing gay man who spoke at the Republican convention, who's one of the original founders of PayPal.
I did not know about that. I didn't know. See, because remember, I let you guys watch most of the Republican
convention. And he stood up there and said, "I'm not going to pretend." You know, this is a Republican platform that includes approving of Pray the Gay Away conversion therapy. Okay. And there he is, mm-hmm. just gay, 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 standing up there at the podium saying, "I'm not going to pretend that I agree with all of my party's positions, but blah, 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 blah." Well, a dumb bastard announced, and by the way, this is the guy who tried who successfully sued, what was it, Gawker, out of existence because of the Hulk Hogan tapes. He paid for all that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think this is the same guy who paid for all that lawyering. He announced that he was making a multi-bajillion gumpty googly humongous donation to the Trumpansy campaign. And I immediately got inquiries saying, "Well, it's time to get away from PayPal." I guess we can just quit and go off the air.
Right.
Because, see, here's the deal. And this is not an advertisement. I know some people have trouble with PayPal. I have never had anything but the most superior customer service from them. That's a fact.
Exactly.
And you know, like there's 9 alternatives to PayPal, none of which I have any guarantee will work worth a damn. Okay.
Right. I mean,
but I can take 5 or 10 or 15 hours and try that and get everybody acclimated to that. Oh, then I'll get the email where that doesn't work. Okay, let's try the next one. No, I think I'll just stay with PayPal, and maybe people will go, "Well, fuck you, Bob." Right?
Stop telling people how to use Mustang.
Yeah, I know. Stop telling people how to PayPal, Bob. But everybody gets to tell me.
Well, I see that I caused a bit of a, I got a little taste of what you've been going through when I posted that thing about what Bernie Sanders wrote in the LA Times op-ed. Was that yesterday or Saturday or whenever it was?
Yeah, and boom, there it is.
And then I'm like,
yeah, because see, the people who are ideologically pure can tell you how to vote. You just can't. You're just not allowed. I mean, I got one right here saying that from Andy in Redwood City. He says the lack of courage among the talk show. I mean, I guess there's more up above it. I'll share that in a little bit. But he says the lack of courage among the talk show community, with exceptions Peter B. Collins and Nicole Sandler before she went dark, is truly discouraging. No badge of courage with Malloy or listening to your program. So I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed to have my reasons for my vote because I'm not pure enough.
Right.
My recognition, Tracy, that there are only 2 candidates in this election who can fucking win does not add up and cannot compare with the ideological purity of voting for somebody who cannot win and wouldn't, infinite monkeys and infinite polling places could not win the presidency of the United States.
And that's, you know,
and
again,
can't find fucking Columbus either.
Right. See, when I, you know, because somebody put, when I, because I posted the same thing on my Facebook page as well, and I got a Jill not Hill hashtag, and because, see, I'm a reactionary, so I'm learning how to, you know, not react as quickly as I used to. So I take my time when I respond to people, and I have not responded, but you know, people already know my response is, I am black, I'm a woman, and I'm a lesbian in a country that does not want any inclination of me.
So, but you know what? There's hope. There's hope.
There's hope.
When I said I went through the drive-thru, I misspoke. That's just habit. We actually walked in, Ferg and I, walked into the McDonald's, and there was a woman behind the counter there who was bragging about how she's going to get married. And she was not bragging about getting married to a guy.
Nice. But my point is, in
rural West Virginia. And that can, but the thing is, that can all be taken away like that.
And that's my point. And that, you know, and I look, were we not having these conversations months into before the primary? I listed all my reasons as to why I wanted Bernie Sanders to be the presidential nominee. And for a hot second, it looked like it could happen. Okay? But it didn't. But I listed all my reasons why I thought Hillary Clinton, I had issues. And I still do have issues with, you know, HRC. How forever, at least, there's glimpses of, you know, us possibly holding her feet to the fire. The fact that she went from some of that bullshit incremental, you know, minimum wage to a solid, it's going to be $15 an hour. The fact that she went from, there's no way we can have, people can have free education at a public colleges if they make less than X amount of dollars a year, to, we can do this shit. So, yes. There's hope. There is, and the fact that she even talks about climate change. Just the fact that, you know, and yes, we still have issues with her, you know, fracking and all that shit. However, there is hope that she will actually do some of these things. The bastard with that orange motherfucker ain't gonna happen. He brags on the fact that it will never happen. He's talking about one of the first things that he will do is put into effect anti-LGBTQ legislation.
I mean, is the only woman that he's been in contact with that he hasn't groped, Caitlyn Jenner? Honest to Jesus.
And we don't, exactly. And that's only because at one point she was Bruce. And I'm so sick and tired of the excuses. Now, here's another thing. It's not my fault. Jan watches The View. But that little silly, little silly person, Candace Cameron, whatever, you know, because they were talking about, and I just love the way Whoopi Goldberg looks at people, because she's like me. Okay, I might hold my tongue, but my face is going to say it all. You know, and she's talking about, you know, how she's a Christian. And, you know, I have to vote my moral conscience. And I'm like, but she's still going to vote for, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, how bad is it? But the other side of that coin, Tracy, is that this, just in the last day or so, a bunch of evangelical pastors have come out and said, no, wait a minute. All this groping, all this misogyny, all this nasty talk is how we get to a rape culture. And it's not okay, and it's not acceptable. And I'm like, whoa, look.
Yes.
Morals among the evangelicals. Yeah, who knew?
But see, again, so it took him talking about groping. They didn't even get this worked up how badly he talked about Megyn Kelly. But again, they did get worked up about it because she's a white woman. And then, you know, fast forward how many months later, and then, you know, all in, you know, we're not thinking about the other misogyny and the homophobia, Islamophobia, all the other phobias and all this other. I would say pick a phobia and it is, you know, racist, sexist, and or phobia. So it's just like we didn't get all worked up about that. But now another white woman. So you I see how you will not get upset about everything in between, but God help you. You know, God help Trump if he's attacking a white woman, because, you know.
Well, but you know, the double standard is broad and deep, Tracy. Consider the story that broke over the weekend. Oh, my God, somebody firebombed a Republican headquarters in North Carolina. Dear Jesus. And, you know, Pat McCrory, the bought and paid for former Duke CEO, executive of governor of North Carolina, obviously. And this is an attack on our democracy. When he spent his entire time in office trying to defeat any notion of democracy in North Carolina, and Trump tweets out, obviously, these were Democrat animals. And that gets all the damn coverage, Tracy. Okay. Gets
but
all again, the,
how many,
but guess,
how many, but wait, how many, wait. How many, whatchamacallit, abortion clinics were firebombed?
But wait. Amidst all the outrage of the firebombing of the Republican headquarters, guess what? Orange County, North Carolina.
What?
The Democratic headquarters got attacked, too.
Was there any outrage? Are we saying crickets?
Wambulance. No, the wambulance went right to Trump headquarters. They spray painted a swastika and Nazi Republicans get out on the Republican building. On the Democratic building, they spray painted "Commie Democrats go to hell" or something similar.
Wow.
I mean, so you know, I'm guessing. Well, you really can't guess who's to blame in this, but sure sounds kind of, well, sort of, kind of maybe Alex Jonesy in this. But it just, you know, more and Monday and everything, it just gets weirder and weirder and weirder and weirder. The staff of Texas Senator Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become American for a very long time, they're saying now that somebody got hold of Rafaelito's Twitter account and that he really didn't tweet out a story that said that if we elect Hillary, there will be mandatory sex change operations by the year 2020, because that came out of Rafaelito's Twitter feed. You got that?
What? What?
I know. It was a link to an article by some batshit crazy white winger that said, if Hillary is elected, there will be mandatory sex change operations by the year 2020.
Mandatory.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going in for my procedure a week ago today when they'd had such a hard time down at Charleston Area Medical Center sorting out my son from me, and I just casually said, if I come out of there missing one leg below the knee with a set of 44 double Ds, I'm going to be pissed off.
Well, apparently,
but
somebody heard you.
Come 2020, it's going to be mandatory. I mean, God damn, these people are nuts.
Well, when you were just talking about the fact that there was, you know, the attack on the Republican headquarters is, to me, considering now that, you know, Trump thin skin is revving up his base, you know, getting them all lathered up and frothy, like Rick Santorum, that, you know, if he loses, that it's rigged. So to me, that just plays into, you know, that paranoia that, of course, see, now they're coming after us. They're destroying, you know, they're attacking our headquarters. And I don't think that anybody from the Democratic, not to say that it's not beneath us, because there's stupid people in on both sides of this. But do you really think it was somebody from the Democratic Party that did that? Or do you think it was, and here's that crazy conspiracy?
Yeah, well, see, those clever Democrats firebombed their own office to
to distract attention away from the fact that they obviously were the ones who firebombed the Republican office. And see how it works there. I mean, you know, they thought I was crazy, but I fooled them. I fooled them with the strawberries. You know, Jesus, you have to walk around with a pair of steel balls in your hand now just because. Oh God.
I tell it like the other day, Jan and I, when the last Republican, I mean the last debate, and Jan and I, Jan's like, is this really happening? And she's like, well, you know, Hillary has his hands down, and I keep trying to tell people, no, she does not, because and that is the problem. The people, I understand people's, you know, not wanting to vote for her and all that, and the idea of people staying home and the protest votes and all. I get it to a certain extent, but then again, I can't, because I'm sorry, and this is not, I am not exaggerating. My life, and people who look like me, you know, my son and my brothers, and anybody that's a black, you know, we just had, like the story earlier, you were talking about the brother that was just walking down the street and had the audacity just to be walking down the street because the sidewalk was closed. Why? Because there's construction. And did you hear about the young man, the young bro? It gets to the point that I just stop posting these stories on my Facebook page because I can't. I can only tolerate so much stupid. The young man that's suing the Washington D.C. police because this white woman called the police because she didn't feel comfortable. And the only thing the young man was doing was holding the door open so a couple could walk, you know, had a stroller so they could walk out of the, you know, without the door closing shut on them.
Over the country. Brother Deacon Asa sent me a story earlier when Nick was telling us about the thing in Edina. I'd seen this earlier in the week. So there was a medical crisis. Is that slurping crazy?
All Delta Airlines.
Yep.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yep.
Did I start yelling? And considering that I know out of...
So there was a medical crisis. There was a medical crisis. And Tamika Cross is a real live, honest-to-goodness MD physician. And she tried to help in the medical crisis. And she jumped into action. She was coming back from a wedding in Detroit. She put her tray table up. She took off her headphones, unbuckled her seatbelt, and a flight attendant who had called out for medical assistance for the man. She went forward, and the flight attendant said, "Oh no, sweetie, put your hand down. We're looking for actual physicians or nurses or some type of medical personnel. We don't have time to talk to you." Meanwhile, Tamika Cross said, "I tried to inform her that I was a physician, but I was continually cut off by condescending remarks." You know, because young black women can't possibly be doctors.
Well, my brother's girlfriend, Dr. Nicole, okay, she's a high yellow gal, but she's still obviously black. And I love her name because her name is, are you ready for this? Dr. Nicole Van Buren. I kid you not. That is her name. So you see Dr. Nicole Van Buren and you see, you know, on her, you know, on her letterhead or what, her signature or whatever, her office, and then here she comes. The look she says she gets, because her name is Dr. Nicole Van Buren. Don't typically sound like Tamika, you know, so. But
I think your dismissal of the name Tamika was kind of uncalled for there, Tracy. We can't all be Tracy.
Well, you know, because her name was Tamika, you know, just because her name was maybe Tamika, Laquan, LaShonda, Lakeisha, whatever the case may be, as long as there's MD after her name, what the fuck difference does it make?
Well, right, but see, the thing is, it only got worse on the Delta flight because when she kept saying, "No, I'm a doctor." They said, "Oh, really? You're a doctor? Yeah. What were you doing in Detroit?"
Right.
Where do you practice? Where do you practice medicine, sweetie? So about then, a white guy shows up and says,
Hello? Older white guy.
Hello, I'm a doctor. Can I help? And they looked at Dr. Cross and said, honey, we don't need you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back to your seat now.
She's because the older white guy, yeah, Dr. Marcus will be in.
Yeah, did they ask for his credentials? Well, no, of course not. Yeah, what if she was a trauma doctor and he was a podiatrist?
Or even a podiatrist, or what's the ass doctor?
Oh,
the proctologist.
Yeah, I can always trust you to go for the quality comedy.
You know, and not to take away from any, but like you said, what if she was a thoracic
What if she was trauma? What he needed?
Right. But because you fucking insist, but did you see the hashtags that came up because of us?
No.
It's called, this is what a doctor looks like. So there's pictures of all these black female doctors. You know, and they're like, just because a sister's sitting in the plane looking fly, you know, doesn't this discount who I am. This one sister's like, I'm still paying off the goddamn loan, so you best.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, this is what, and that's the, it's a hashtag. This is what a doctor looks like. And so you have all these beautiful black women who are MDs. And I personally know six black women, one of which is my, hopefully one day my soon, future sister-in-law, because I can say, I have a doctor in the family, but five of which went to my church. And they're all doctors. There's MD. But it's, if you, the story that she said, it happened, and it's happened.
You know what? Reality is reality, Tracy. If you brought a graduated tops in her class, Harvard Medical School physician, and she was black, and you put her in this little clinic down here that I go to, the place would have to close.
No.
It'd have to close.
Well, I think I told you the story. My mom used to be an in-home health care nurse. And when she first moved to North Carolina, she decided, she was going to, still be a nurse. And see, here's the thing, because she got her RN in California, if you pass the state licensing to become an RN in the state of California, you can go anywhere in the country without issue because of our standards, right? So when she moved to North Carolina, they're like, here, pay a fee, you're a nurse. Here's your license. That's it. That's all you have to do because you got your RN in California. That's all she had to do. So she, recounts on a few occasions where, her name is Coralie, but it's Clemson at the time. So, not a typically African, American, name or anything like that. So more than one occasion that she would get to the patient's house that they would look at her and say, come up with whatever excuse white people try to come up with to try to make sure they don't sound like they're being racist. But, I'm not quite ready, or is there another nurse that can send, that can see me or what have you. And my mother, who is not an idiot, knows exactly what it was. The best one is when it happened out here. She was up at Tehachapi, which is basically, our version of, any city in the South. That's, very white, very racist and all that. And the same thing this woman said. And so my mother being my mother called her dispatch or whatever and said, well, this woman doesn't want, is having a problem, and you make sure that you don't send, that she named off all the other black nurses that work at that worked at the registry. And so then when my mom got off the phone and said to her supervisor's like, well, let her know that we don't know when we're going to send out another nurse. It might be today. It might be tomorrow. we don't know. And so when my mother relayed that, she's like, well, okay, well, you know, I think it's okay. My mother's like, no. You make your wishes known. We won't be seeing you today. We'll make sure, you know, whenever we get a nurse that suits your qualification. And just so happens, I don't think there was any white nurses available for 2 days. Oh, well.
Yep.
But is that, you know, like you said, is that cutting off your nose to spite your face? You rather die bleeding in the middle of the street than rather have a black doctor touch you. Wow.
We're living. See, back when it first aired, it was sort of a reminder of, you know, how fucked up people used to be. Remember the MASH episode where the racist doesn't want any black blood, so they iodine him up so he'll get nice and brown and tell him we screwed up, and that was looking backwards at something with a sort of self-satisfied presumption that we were past it now.
Right.
Well, then, if we were past it in the Korean War. Yeah, but if we're past it now, if we were past it then, we've gone in retrograde motion, Tracy.
You and I both know that racism has not gone anywhere in this country. And I think
it was better than there have been times that it was better than it is now. Or at least it was driven underground to where it was not okay to talk about. But we're in the age of Trump, and in the age of Trump. Oh my God! Did you catch the SNL skit Saturday night?
I saw part of it when
the moment where the
Crouching Tiger hit and grabbed.
No, the moment in the debate when Trump takes the question from the black guy, who introduces himself as "My name is James." And Trump says, thank you, Denzel.
James what?
Denzel.
Oh, shit.
It was beautiful. Totally off topic. But you know the celebrity gasm that the country had over Ken Bone, the guy in the red sweater?
You know what? I knew I was waiting for the. So he supports coal and what else?
Well, he's a coal plant operator, but he also did an Ask Me Anything on Reddit and bragged about having seen the stolen nude photos that were taken in the Apple raid. And he openly said, yeah, I saw the picture. I just feel skeevy even quoting him. I saw the picture of Jennifer Lawrence's butt. Jennifer Lawrence's butthole, and I liked it.
Well, remember,
now this is a guy that the for-profit media turned into an immediate, instantaneous superstar, and you got people running out trying to buy his red sweater.
Let me tell you something. I watched too many episodes of Criminal Minds, and I'm watching him, and I'm looking at him, and I'm sorry. Only thing I could think of was a white panel van without windows.
You're just rubbing Michael's nose in it now, aren't you?
You know, I have that perception of that lens of looking at the world through the eyes of a crazy, angry black woman at times. And then couple that with, you know, being a fan of the macabre. I mean, you know, I watch, you know, Criminal Minds. I watch American Horror Story. Halloween is my favorite holiday other than Thanksgiving. But it's like these are the things that I enjoy. Call me sick. But when I saw Ken Bone, I saw a serial killer.
Just wanted to hand him a hockey mask, didn't you?
I was happy that he seemed like a decent person, and I was hoping that I couldn't say I told you so, and I'm just thank God that he's not a Democrat or whatever, because he's an undecided. So say you're undecided, you know, and like you said about the Jennifer Lawrence butthole thing, you know. If that's how, look, let your freak flag fly. do what you do, boo. Do you, be you, whoever the hell you are. But I don't, there's certain things I don't want to hear about. And I really don't want to hear about how you found that you'd like to see Jennifer, you know.
Yeah, see, we don't even have to say it anymore, okay? Let's don't.
Okay. But see, it's those things, because see, if that's what you enjoyed, fine. It, you know, you're an adult. But see, the thing is, that what you enjoy, you know, Jennifer Lawrence didn't give you permission to enjoy that. You know, so that's a visual assault. She had, you know, she didn't give you permission.
And that's exactly what she said about it when it happened. She said, if you're looking at these things, you're participating in an ongoing assault.
Right. And so I didn't give you permission. Now, if that's what you do and you know, you watch those XXX movies and all that, these people are paid professionals. And this is what they get paid to do. So that's how you go ahead and get your jollies. But when it's somebody that, you know, be it old girl, you know, who, you know, when Donald Trump's talking about, you know, grabbing them by the pussy.
Yeah, and it also turns out Ken Bone has a thing for photographs of, like, 9 months pregnant women in swimsuits.
Yeah, the only person that should be thinking that that's sexy is the person, the baby daddy, or the female herself. But again, I didn't give you permission to ew, gross, sticky. I mean, now I, what is that to you that said skeevy?
Yeah. Now, is it time for Tracy's bleach shower?
You know,
this is what you get for going to Hateful A, okay? I just want you to know, I set it up this way. This is your punishment.
You're so full of shit. Because you go there too, and I would never do that. Now, see, I'm gonna have to come up with some, you know, water torture for your happy ass. Because it's like I have to go, you know, go somewhere. I have to go now. I'm gonna actually physically go and get deep fried shrimp tacos and take pictures of them.
Then you can just go to Blaze's, okay? Blaze's,
you know,
Blaze's deep fried shrimp tacos. I'm sure it's something, Reseda, Encino, Pasadena.
No, to go get the deep fried shrimp tacos, I have to go to East Los Angeles. And actually,
Tim will be waiting.
Exactly. I have to go to East Los, you know, but what's cool is where the taco truck is parked is right across the street from the housing development where I am, from the Black Eyed Peas grew up. And he was like one of the only, because back then, well, still now, it's a largely Hispanic. And when he was living there, it was like his family was the only Black family back in the day. So, yeah, that's the projects where housing development.
Yes. I think in the UK they call that council housing or something like that. Yes.
Is that what? It's called. What is it? You know, low income housing development, council housing. Look, you know that's.
Yeah, here we just call it up the holler.
Exactly. Speaking of hollers, when is it? We're only a few months out for the sixth season two of Outsiders, right?
Yes, Outsiders is coming back. It'll be, and I need to check in with my buddy Peter and see how the shooting went. I badly wanted to get up there, but just couldn't make it happen. And
well, it's not like you don't have anything else to do.
True. Oh, hey, good news, by the way. Nick in Minnesota, Michael met your challenge. Michael said, I matched and exceeded the marathon challenge monetarily. I ain't running no actual marathon, so that my $33.80 contribution, the marathon amount, makes an even $60, just trying to spare you the ciphering. Thank you, Michael. Thank you very kindly. And so that means we are down to,
you're doing it. You're making my head hurt. I actually feel your brain all the way over here trying to figure it out.
165 to go. Okay. And you've got a $50 challenge on the table that you announced, and we kind of been too busy talking.
Right.
But so thank you for that.
God, wouldn't it have been awesome if that had been a royal flush?
Man, oh, do you, okay, so had I gotten, let me tell you, had I gotten a royal flush, because it was a progressive?
Yeah.
$87,000.
Jump the back.
Now,
shut
let me tell you, if mama had to hit an $87,000 jackpot, I would have had to have funded the horn for an entire week. And then whatever else comes in, that's on, you know, that's the following week or whatever the case may be. I would have happily have given the horn $1,000 without, because that's about that's how much a week is, about $1,000, yes?
Thereabouts.
Or is it $1,250?
No, it's $200 a night.
Okay. So I would have gladly have written a check for $1,000 easily had I won. For $87,000? Are you kidding me?
So how much of a cut does the state of California get out of something like that?
I don't know, because my tax, you know, none of your own revenue. I don't know. I can't wait till April, till next year, because now now we can deduct stuff that we couldn't deduct before.
I looked it up one time. If you hit the Powerball in this state, the state of West Virginia gets a 38% cut.
Well, out here in California, now, if you went, from what I understand, as far as like if we hit the, not power, if Powerball was the one that's across the country, right?
Yeah.
In different states. But I think out here, if you hit the California lottery, I don't think there's state tax, but there's federal. So the franchise tax board is not going to mess with you, but the feds will get you. But I'm you know what, I'm willing to take that hit.
No, oh, happy be the happiest check I ever wrote.
It's like, you know what, you know, y'all, you know, here's it will hurt less if we had a Democratic Senate. If, you know, if the Democrats took the House and the House and the Senate, then when I wrote that check for however much it was, if I ever won Powerball or the lottery or what have you, that it wouldn't hurt so much, because at least, you know, especially that thing about, you know, Paul Ryan, you know, saying we got to be careful about, you know, because if the Democrats take the Senate, then Bernie Sanders could become, the, you know, be head of the Senate Budget Committee, budgetary. What is it?
Whatever Paul Ryan thinks.
Whatever, you know.
I'm guessing the Senate Appropriations or something like that. Yeah.
Something. Basically, one of the.
I just want to watch. I just want to watch Eddie Munster's little old pumpkin head explode.
Right. I mean. And see, Bob,
voluntarily and self-imposed.
It, you know, we as, you know, Democrats, the only reason I was a registered Democrat is because whatever the hell the DNC was doing in California, I had to change from independent to Democrat so I could vote for Bernie. So those shenanigans, and I'm sorry that I even said it, because that just fueled the fire. Just, it was, the DNC stole the election from Bernie, and now I'm starting that mess up.
The thing is, the accusation is, well, you know, nobody's talking about, and Andy brought this up, and, you know, I guess it's a fair critique, but, you know, nobody's talking about what she said in her Goldman Sachs speeches. Well, I predicted what would be in those Goldman Sachs transcripts months ago. I said that she would tell Wall Street that they shit ice cream, and that she would shine them on. And she did exactly that. And somewhere along the way, according to the transcript, she said that environmentalists should get a life. Well, surprise, surprise, surprise. I'm shocked. Absolutely shocked, I tell you.
I mean, I'm clutching my pearls. I'm so shocked, Bob, because, you know.
I mean, she didn't take hacky sacks and Tempe sandwiches and bottles of patchouli oil for everybody in the Goldman Sachs audience, really?
And
oh my God!
And wear, and wear Birkenstocks?
Yeah, absolutely. She did that. What? And yeah. I mean, she didn't bring them all a tree to plant so they could hug it. Yeah, please.
This woman, Hillary Clinton.
I don't agree. I don't agree with it. I don't. I'm not electing somebody to fall in love with. Choosing between two candidates, the only two candidates who can win the election, one of whom might end life as we know it on Earth. And I ain't talking about Hillary.
The very day after he's sworn in. We're not even talking long goals here, Bob. If he becomes president, I would be happy to make it to February.
Yeah, no, if Trump becomes president, everybody in Australia is going to be watching on the beach, okay? And it's going to feel like a documentary and not a damn movie.
Right. I mean,
but you know,
but then we've had this conversation as well. Where can we go? You know, I'm 50 and a black lesbian. You're 52 or 53? Are you 2 years older than me or 3 years older than me?
I'm 53.
Okay. So you're 53, of questionable health as well as I am. Who's going to want to take us in, Bob? What countries are going to say, come on over because you have so much to contribute to our country? What?
Right.
I hear crickets.
No, I...
You know, and like it's those same assholes who, when, you know, Black Lives Matter people protest, or when, you know, Colin Kaepernick protests, well, if you don't like our country, you might as well just leave. Really? I wish the Indians could say the same thing to y'all, because, like, well, no, the best one was the one when they talk about, you know, Black folks or people who protest or anything about this country. Well, you ought to just leave if you don't like what's going on here. Well, y'all have been bitching and moaning and crying for the last 8 years. Why didn't you leave?
There we go. But, you know, I mean, you know, I mean, Andy makes some good points. You know, he says, I'm with Jay Cruz, and I'm with the Liberty Party of the 1840s that helped drive the Republican Party and President Abraham Lincoln forward to emancipation. I'm with Eugene V. Debs, the man who drove President Teddy Roosevelt to be the trust buster, and to a lesser extent, Woodrow Wilson to the left. Last, I'm with Norman Thomas, whose policies influenced the President Franklin D. Roosevelt administration.
Wait, Woodrow Wilson, who said that the birth of the nation
and Andy said to an extent. Yeah,
I just because I heard
the thing is, he mentions Abraham Lincoln, FDR, and Teddy Roosevelt. Well, Teddy Roosevelt became president by accident because somebody shot McKinley. Lincoln became president because the Democratic Party couldn't come up with a nominee because of the split between the North and the South. And FDR was elected president because Great Depression. Okay, there's all of that.
Right.
So those are moments of high crisis. But beyond that, all of those examples are examples of people who could be moved, all right?
Right.
The current candidates, one can be moved, the other cannot. And the one who cannot be moved is Trump.
So he's a bowel movement. That's the only movement
well,
he has.
That's about the truth of it. Big, orange, steaming, et cetera.
Pile of
shit. Yeah. And so, you know, so we're talking about moving presidents. I mean, let's remember Teddy Roosevelt was a racist till the day he stopped breathing. Okay. Lincoln was a chameleon who said if he could keep the Union together by freeing the slaves, he would do that. If he could keep the Union together by not freeing the slaves, he would do that. Lincoln was a proponent of the Back to Africa movement until Frederick Douglass looked at him and said, I ain't going back to Africa. I've never been to Africa. I've never been
there.
There's nowhere for me to go back to. I was born here. And so, but all of these instances of presidents being moved were presidents who had the ability
to be moved. And, yeah, there's a lot to admire in Eugene V. Debs, absolutely. And you know what? Another one of those people that moved FDR was Huey P. Long and his Every Man a King movement. And that scared FDR enough, that scared FDR into Social Security. But again, mm-hmm. the idea is that they could be moved. There is no argument to be made, no valid argument to be made, that Trump can be moved. You know, I said in the filibobster, Tracy, that we have, if she's elected, we've got a ton of work to do. And I talked about the fact that she has this record of acting on behalf of children. Well, by God, there's some Appalachian children we need her to act on behalf of. And it's not just the children of those poor minors. It's all exactly. the Appalachian children.
Well, if you want to act on behalf of the children, you know, act on behalf of the children because their parents are stuck in these payday loans. You know, that it's this vicious cycle of poverty. So, when you're talking about acting on behalf of the children, because, like you said, the health care and all that, but make sure that their parents could take care of them.
Yeah, but again, the principle is there. The candidate has to be able to be moved. I mean, I make certain presumptions on this program, Tracy. One of them is that people are not necessarily tuning in to hear everything that every other progressive talker has talked about all day long.
No.
And so I try to break it up, make it a little bit different. And tonight, you and I have had a lovely time talking about things that aren't American presidential politics because people are sick to goddamn death of it.
Look, we talked about fucking sitting, two fat people sitting in beer tubs.
That's a hopeful vision. That's a hope to me. That's a hopeful vision of the future.
You know, because and just the fact that I said this, you know, I live in California, so I could. There's a strong possibility if I, you know, and even if I don't know how to write a business plan, I can go somewhere, and somebody can help me write a business plan, and dream up some idea of a beer spa. You know, because it's those things that can happen out here. It's like, you know, the op-ed, the piece about, you know, people that are screaming that Obamacare is not working. Not true. It's working out in California just great.
Yeah, it look, the problems with Obamacare are problems with the insurance industry. Plain
and
simple.
Has to do
the insurance industry
plain and simple.
The insurance industry screws everything up. Because that's their, you know,
because they can,
because it, right. And you know what, the insurance industry, if you get right down to it, if the Republicans ever got close to repealing Obamacare, the insurance industry would get on the phone and go, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, it's
because
like
it's a giant welfare plan for the richest people in America, the owners of the insurance industry.
Well, it's like what you remember when they did that bullshit sequester 3 years. It's really been 3 years. That bullshit sequester, and you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, and they were cutting people's food stamps and all this. Don't you think those people, the people that owned the Walmart, they were calling their Republican friends and saying, "Look here now.
Don't you cut into our don't you cut into our first of the month margin?"
You know.
I mean, I live in a poor state, in a relatively poor community, and Tracy, I don't know what it's like in Southern California, but man, first of the month at Walmart is like it's like the carnival's come to town.
Oh, honey, let me tell you. Okay, so you know, Monday and Wednesday, like right now, I'm sitting, you know, waiting for Will. I'm out here until 8:30. The week before last, I had to go to Wally World because it was the closest, and I needed a couple of things. And Wally World is one of the few places that actually makes stuff in my size because I have become expansive. Talk about expansion. And it's like, well, if I'm going to have to work, buy these clothes, I'm not going to spend a lot of money on them. And so I went to Wally World. I got my double X stuff. And then I remembered that there's a couple of things that I needed to pick up for the house and blah, 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 blah. So I paid for my purchases and I left. And it was around the first of the month. So as I was leaving, people were coming in. And then, you know, this is what apparently right after I left, well, I guess some of the registers had started going down, and then by the time I left, pretty much they were all down. The computer system had went down, and they didn't know when they were going to be able to bring the computers back up, so they had to close the store. And I got in my car, but I just sat and watched, because you know me, I like to watch things unfold. And let me tell you, it's the same here, because, you know, there's only so many different places where you can shop. I'm in Lakewood now, so Lakewood is not considered, you know, it's a pretty solid middle class part of town. But there's still some poor parts, you know, of the area. And these people are about to lose their minds because they have to close the Wally World. And I sit there like, damn it. We are so dependent on Walmart. It's sickened.
Around here, if Walmart doesn't carry it, you don't need it.
You don't get it.
And you know, I want to be clear with Andy's note to me. He says, you know, no badge of courage with Malloy or listening to your program. I guess by inference that I somehow lack bravery when it comes to this election. I reject the idea that not voting for Jill Stein somehow constitutes cowardice. There are those of us who think it's, you know, just not doing a silly thing. But I do, let me be absolutely clear here. I admit to cowardice. I absolutely admit to being a coward.
Mm-hmm.
Because I live in West Virginia. And if I put a Hillary Clinton sign in my front yard, I run the risk of having my home
being burned down.
Of my home being burnt down or shot at or my tires slashed or my vehicle otherwise attacked or just being personally attacked on the grounds
Period.
Of my own home. If I put an I'm with her sticker on my car, I run the risk of my car being keyed or my tires slashed. So if we're going to call me a coward, let's at least acknowledge the locus of my cowardice. I am afraid to admit in this stateful of potentially violent trumpansies to state my political choice.
Because I did
once upon a time. I had a Barack Obama sign in my yard. It got stolen.
Really?
Oh yeah, it got stolen. My kids got ridiculed, called names, and in one case beat up on the bus. And somebody hurled a billiard ball at our window.
Well, was it liberal that said that he would not allow his daughter to have anything remotely looking like an Obama sticker or T-shirt or anything for fear of her life?
And you know, if you live in a safe place, maybe it's hard to comprehend something like that, Tracy. But I don't live in a safe place.
And this is why I try, you know, I live in Encino. Yes, I live in California, but I'm still black. I'm at that age where I'm no longer considered a threat because I'm an overweight, middle-aged black woman. But I have a son that is not. You know, and even though he's a few shades lighter than some, he's still black. But see, that's the thing about my son. See, he's just, his complexion It's that I don't know what you are complexion, that shade, you know? Because he could be black. He could be Hispanic. He could, heaven help me, he could be a Muslim. So I have all those things, you know, or a Hasidic Jew or whatever the case may be. But whatever it is, it's not what we want. It's not American, you know, which leaves him open to being harassed by any number of people, especially the LAPD. So, you know, I understand that fear. I mean, I have, like I said, I have the luxury of, you know, living in California. And so when I put my Bernie, when I had my Bernie lawn sign in my neighborhood on my lawn, I didn't have to worry about somebody coming and, you know, throwing a rock in my window or anything like that. I have not, and I probably will not put a Hillary lawn, you know, sign on my, because again, I don't support her in that way. She has my vote, but I am not given the illusion that I, and you know, I'm with her to that, I'm with her to that extent that, like you said, that, you know, she can be moved, that, you know, I'm still bruised, and a whole lot of other black folks are still bruised and still suffering for her and her husband's welfare reform and, mandatory minimum sentencing and all those other things that have done horrible things to poor black folks across this country, and namely a lot of the people in my family. So, you know, when she has that, hopefully she will have a come to Jesus moment, and they will start, and they will think about those mandatory minimum sentencing and the fact that, you know, the only crime that you can be convicted of and have a felony and not get financial aid is a drug related offense, which disproportionately affects who? Brown and black people. You know, the only crime that you cannot, you know, possibly not get housing is a drug offense. Again, who does that affect?
Yep.
So when they start, when she go, if and when she becomes, what is it, the 45th president of the, this here United States, and one of the first things that she does is wipe out that bullshit that did what her and her husband did 20-some-odd years ago, that's when I will say, okay, I'm with her. And on that note, I guess we should go because you only have about 3 minutes left.
We are fresh out of time. And thank you for putting the challenge on the table, Tracy. Hopefully people respond to it. If Tracy's challenge gets met, that takes us down to $65 to go. And thank you all very, very kindly. And thank you, Tracy, for a lovely conversation. We've been all over the place, and it's always fun going all over the place with you.
And I brought it. Hopefully I brought it home.
You did. You did. All right. Take it easy, Tracy. Bye now.
You too, my darling. Bye-bye.
The one and only lady cab driver. That's Tracy calling from somewhere. I don't know. Maybe she's home tonight. No, she's waiting. She's waiting. So she's not on the 102, the 405, or the 6 and 7 8. She's just waiting. So, I'm rode hard and put up wet, but we made it through 3 hours of program. I hope you had enjoyed it as much as I did. I appreciate the input from Andy. The ability to disagree without being disagreeable is key, I think, to the success, such as it is, of our little effort that's been going on. It's been going on since 2004, but we'll be 11 years old a week from tonight. I don't know, we'll have cake and ice cream or something. At least cyber cake and ice cream, if, you know, the Russians don't hack our cake or something. Oh, no, the Russians are pure as the driven snow. Absolutely. And it's all made up. But anyway, thanks for joining in this evening. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to all of you who keep the program going. Thanks to our subscribers. We welcome new subscribers. We're still trying to get to 100 subscribers. And they fall off, and they jump in, but thank you. Thank you for your participation. And we will hopefully make up the deficit between now and tomorrow. And, hey, thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. It was great seeing folks this afternoon. Again, if you want to see what we were doing down in Charleston today, run over to my Facebook page. There's video of the whole thing. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.